This is Murray Everson, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we celebrate Memorial Day, May 29th, 2023. We're going to take a look at the history of Memorial Day, some facts that you may not know, and a few other items that we think will be of interest. Let's start with the history of Memorial Day and read this quote by President James A. Garfield, May 30th, 1868, at Arlington National Cemetery. "We do not know one promise these men made, one pledge they gave, one word they spoke, but we do know they summed up and perfected by one supreme act the highest virtues of men and citizens. For love of country, they accepted death and thus resolved all doubts and made immortal their patriotism and their virtue." Originally called Decoration Day, from the early tradition of decorating graves with flowers, wreaths, and flags, Memorial Day is a day for remembrance of those who have died in service to our country. It was first widely observed on May 30th, 1868, to commemorate the sacrifices of Civil War soldiers by proclamation of General John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of former Union sailors and soldiers. During that first national commemoration, former Union General and sitting Ohio Congressman James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, after which 5,000 participants helped to decorate the graves of the more than 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who were buried there. This national event galvanized efforts to honor and remember foreign soldiers that began with local observances at burial grounds in several towns throughout the United States following the end of the Civil War, such as the May 1, 1865 gathering in Charleston, South Carolina, organized by freed slaves to pay tribute and give proper burial to Union troops. In 1873, New York was the first state to designate Memorial Day as a legal holiday. By the late 1800s, many more cities and communities observed Memorial Day, and several states had declared it a legal holiday. After World War I, it became an occasion for honoring those who died in all of America's wars and was then more widely established as a national holiday throughout the United States. In 1971, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act and established that Memorial Day was to be commemorated on the last Monday of May. Memorial Day is commemorated at Arlington National Cemetery each year with a ceremony in which a small American flag is placed on each grave. Traditionally, the vice president or president lays a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. One of the earliest Memorial Day ceremonies was held by freed African Americans. At the close of the Civil War, people recently freed from slavery in Charleston honored fallen Union soldiers. This article by Dave Ross. Memorial Day was born out of necessity. After the American Civil War, a battered United States was faced with the task of burying and honoring the 600,000 to 800,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who had died in the single bloodiest military conflict in American history. The first national commemoration of Memorial Day was held in Arlington National Cemetery on May 30, 1868, where both Union and Confederate soldiers are buried. Several towns and cities across America claim to have observed their own earlier versions of Memorial Day or Decoration Day as early as 1866. The earlier name is derived from the fact that decorating graves was and remains a central activity of Memorial Day. But it wasn't until a remarkable discovery in a dusty Harvard University archive, the late 1990s, that historians learned about a Memorial Day commemoration organized by a group of black people freed from enslavement less than a month after the Confederacy surrendered in 1865. Back in 1996, David Blight, a professor of American history at Yale University, was researching a book on the Civil War when he had one of those once-in-a-career eureka moments. A curator at Harvard's Houghton Library asked if he wanted to look through two boxes of unsorted material from Union veterans. There was one file labeled First Decoration Day, remembers Blight, still amazed at his good fortune. And inside on a piece of cardboard was a narrative handwritten by an old veteran plus a date referencing an article in the New York Tribune. That narrative told the essence of the story that I ended up telling in my book on this march on the racetrack in 1865. The racetrack in question was the Washington Racecourse and Jockey Club in Charleston, South Carolina. In the late stages of the Civil War, the Confederate Army transformed the formerly posh country club into a makeshift prison for Union captives. More than 260 Union soldiers died from disease and exposure while being held in the racetrack's open-air infield. Their bodies were hastily buried in a mass grave behind the grandstands. When Charleston fell and Confederate troops evacuated the badly damaged city, those freed from enslavement remained. One of the first things those emancipated men and women did was to give the fallen Union prisoners a proper burial. They exhumed the mass grave and reinterred the bodies in a new cemetery with a tall whitewashed fence inscribed with the words Martyrs of the Racecourse. And then on May 1st, 1865, something even more extraordinary happened. According to two reports that Blight found in the New York Tribune and the Charleston Courier, a crowd of 10,000 people, mostly freed slaves with some white missionaries, staged a parade around the racetrack. 3,000 black schoolchildren carried bouquets of flowers and sang John Brown's Body. Members of the famed 54th Massachusetts and other black Union regiments were in attendance and performed double-time marches. Black ministers recited verses from the Bible. If the news reports are accurate, the 1865 gathering at the Charleston racetrack would be the earliest Memorial Day commemoration on record. Blight excitedly called the Avery Institute of African American History and Culture at the College of Charleston, looking for more information on the historic event. "I've never heard of it, they told me," says Blight. "This never happened." But it was clear from the newspaper reports that a Memorial Day observance was organized by freed slaves in Charleston at least a year before other U.S. cities and 3 years before the first national observance. How had it been lost to history for over a century? This was a story that had really been suppressed both in the local memory and certainly the national memory, says Blight, but nobody who had witnessed it could ever have forgotten it. Blight kept digging for more information, but the only other mention he found of the racetrack event was in a 1916 correspondence sent from a Women's Civil War Historical Society in New Orleans to its sister chapter in Charleston, asking about a big parade of freed slaves on a horsetrack at the end of the war. "I regret that I was unable to gather any official information in answer to this," wrote the Charleston Society's president. "That's such a telling statement," says Blight. "The women who wrote that letter may not have known about it, but the fact she didn't tells the story." Once the war was over and Charleston was rebuilt in the 1880s, the city's white residents likely had little interest in remembering an event held by former enslaved people to celebrate the Union dead. That didn't fit their version of what the war was all about, says Blight. In time, the old horse track and country club were torn down, and thanks to a gift from a wealthy northern patron, the Union soldiers' graves were moved from the humble white-fenced graveyard to Charleston in the Buford National Cemetery. By the time Blight was rummaging through the Harvard archives in 1996, the story of the first Memorial Day had been entirely forgotten. Or perhaps not entirely. After his book, Race and Reunion, was published in 2001, Blight gave a talk about Memorial Day at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History, and after it was finished, an old black woman approached him. "You mean that story is true?" the woman asked Blight. "I grew up in Charleston, and my granddaddy used to tell us this story of a parade at the old racetrack, and we never knew whether to believe him or not. You mean that's true?" For Blight, it's less important whether the 1865 commemoration of the martyrs of the racecourse is officially recognized as the first Memorial Day. It's the fact that this occurred in Charleston at a cemetery site for the Union dead in a city where the Civil War had begun, says Blight, and that it was organized and done by African-American former slaves is what gives it such poignancy. Let's now take a look at nine things you may not know about Memorial Day. From its Civil War origins to its modern-day traditions, find out more about America's most solemn holiday. This is written by Barbara Maranzani, originally posted May 24, 2013, and updated May 20, 2022. Memorial Day and its traditions may have ancient roots. This is number one. While the first commemorative Memorial Day events were held in the United States until the late 19th century, the practice of honoring those who have fallen in battle dates back thousands of years. The ancient Greeks and Romans held annual days of remembrance for loved ones, including soldiers, each year, festooning their graves with flowers and holding public festivals and feasts in their honor. In Athens, public funerals for fallen soldiers were held after each battle, with the remains of the dead on display for the public mourning before a funeral procession took them to their internment in the Kerameikos, one of the city's most prestigious cemeteries. One of the first known public tributes to war dead was in 431 BC when the Athenian general and statesman Pericles delivered a funeral oration praising the sacrifice and valor of those killed in the Peloponnesian War, a speech that some have compared in tone to Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. A second thing that you may not know, one of the earliest commemorations was organized by recently freed African Americans. As the Civil War neared its end, thousands of Union soldiers held as prisoners of war were herded into a series of hastily assembled camps in Charleston, South Carolina. Conditions at one camp, a former racetrack near the city's citadel, were so bad that more than 250 prisoners died from disease or exposure and were buried in a mass grave behind the track's grandstand. 3 weeks after the Confederate surrender, an unusual procession entered the former camp. On May 1, 1865, more than 1,000 people recently freed from enslavement, accompanied by regiments of the U.S. colored troops, including the Massachusetts 54th Infantry, and a handful of white Charlestonians, gathered in the camp to consecrate a new, proper burial site for the Union dead. The group sang hymns, gave readings, and distributed flowers around the cemetery, which they dedicated to the martyrs of the racecourse. Number three, the holiday's founder had a long and distinguished career. In May 1868, General John A. Logan, the commander-in-chief of the Union Veterans Group known as the Grand Army of the Republic, issued a decree that May 30th should become a nationwide day of commemoration for the more than 620,000 soldiers killed in the recently ended Civil War. On Decoration Day, as Logan dubbed it, Americans should lay flowers and decorate the graves of the war dead, whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. According to legend, Logan chose May 30th because it was a rare day that did not fall on the anniversary of a Civil War battle, though some historians believe the date was selected to ensure that flowers across the country would be in full bloom. After the war, Logan, who had served as a U.S. congressman before resigning to rejoin the Army, returned to his political career, eventually serving in both the House and Senate, and was the unsuccessful Republican candidate for vice president in 1884. When he died 2 years later, Logan's body laid in state in the rotunda of the United States Capitol, making him one of just 33 people to have received that honor. Today, Washington, D.C.'s Logan Circle and several townships across the country are named in honor of this champion of veterans and those killed in battle. We're a little more than halfway through this reading of the history of Memorial Day. My name is Murray Everson. Let's continue on. The fourth thing that you might not know about Memorial Day, Logan probably adapted the idea from earlier events in the South. Even before the war ended, women's groups across much of the South were gathering informally to decorate the graves of the Confederate dead. In April 1886, the Ladies Memorial Association of Columbus, Georgia, resolved to commemorate in the fallen once a year, a decision that seems to have influenced John Logan to follow suit, according to his own wife. However, Southern commemorations were rarely held on one standard day, with observations differing by state and spread out across much of the spring and early summer. It's a tradition that continues today. 9 Southern states officially recognize a Confederate Memorial Day, with events held on Confederate President Jefferson Davis's birthday, the day on which General Thomas Stonewall Jackson was killed, or to commemorate other symbolic events. A fifth item you might not know about Memorial Day, it did not become a federal holiday until 1971. Americans embraced the notion of Decoration Day immediately. That first year, more than 27 states had some sort of ceremony, with more than 5,000 people in attendance at a ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. By 1890, every former state of the Union had adopted it as an official holiday, but for more than 50 years, the holiday was used to commemorate those killed just in the Civil War, not in any other American conflict. It wasn't until America's entry into World War I that the tradition was expanded to include those killed in all wars, and Memorial Day was not officially recognized nationwide until the 1970s, with America deeply embroiled in the Vietnam War. A sixth item, it was a long road from Decoration Day to an official Memorial Day. Although the term Memorial Day was used beginning in the 1880s, the holiday was officially known as Decoration Day for more than a century when it was changed by federal law. 4 years later, the Uniform Monday Holiday Act of 1968 finally went into effect, moving Memorial Day from its traditional observance on May 30th, regardless of the day of the week, to a set day, the last Monday in May. The move has not been without controversy, though. Veterans groups concerned that more Americans associate the holiday with the first long weekend of the summer and not its intended purpose to honor the nation's war dead continued to lobby for a return to the May 30th observances. For more than 20 years, their cause was championed by Hawaiian senator and decorated World War II veteran Danielle Inouye, who until his 2012 death reintroduced legislation in support of the change at the start of every congressional term. Number 7, more than 20 towns claim to be the holiday's birthplace, but only one has federal recognition. For almost as long as there's been a holiday, there's been a rivalry about who celebrated it first. Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, bases its claim on an 1864 gathering of women to mourn those recently killed at Gettysburg. In Carbondale, Illinois, they're certain that they were first thanks to an 1866 parade led in part by John Logan, who 2 years later would lead the charge for an official holiday. There are even 2 dueling Columbus challengers, one in Mississippi, the other in Georgia, who have battled it out for Memorial Day supremacy for decades. Only one town, however, has received the official seal of approval from the U.S. government. In 1966, 100 years after the town of Waterloo, New York, shuttered its businesses and took to the streets for the first of many continuous community-wide celebrations, President Lyndon Johnson signed legislation recently passed by the U.S. Congress declaring the tiny upstate village the official birthplace of Memorial Day. Number 8, wearing a red poppy on Memorial Day began with a World War I poem. In the spring of 1915, bright red flowers began poking through the battle-ravaged land across northern France and Flanders, northern Belgium. Canadian Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, who served as a brigade surgeon for an Allied artillery unit, spotted a cluster of the poppies shortly after serving as a brigade surgeon during the bloody Second Battle of Ypres. The sight of the bright red flowers against the dreary backdrop of war inspired McCrae to pen the poem In Flanders Field, in which he gives voice to the soldiers who had been killed in battle and lay buried beneath the poppy-covered grounds. Later that year, a Georgia teacher and volunteer war worker named Moina Michael read the poem in Ladies Home Journal and wrote her own poem, We Shall Keep the Faith, to begin a campaign to make the poppy a symbol of tribute to all who died in war. The poppy remains a symbol of remembrance to this very day. Memorial Day traditions have evolved over the years. Despite the increasing celebration of the holiday as a summer rite of passage, there are some formal rituals still on the books. The American flag should be hung at half staff until noon on Memorial Day, then raised to the top of the staff. And since 2000, when the U.S. Congress passed legislation, all Americans are encouraged to pause for a national moment of remembrance at 3 p.m. local time. The federal government has also used the holiday to honor non-veterans. The Lincoln Memorial was dedicated on Memorial Day 1922. And in speaking of that poem, In Flanders Fields, written by John McCrae, let's read it. In Flanders fields the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below, we are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders field. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from falling hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. Let's take a look at the poppy and its symbol. The poppy is a symbol of remembrance and hope, including hope for a positive future and peaceful world. They are a show of support for the armed forces community, those currently serving, ex-serving personnel, and their families, and a symbol of remembrance for all those who have fallen in conflict. The red poppy came to symbolize the bloodshed during battle following the publication of the wartime poem In Flanders Field. The poem was written by Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, M.D., while serving on the front line. Our red poppy is a symbol of both remembrance and hope for a peaceful future. Poppies are worn as a show of support for the armed forces community. The poppy is a well-known and well-established symbol, one that carries a wealth of history and meaning with it. It is thought that the red petals represents the blood of those who gave their lives. The black button in the middle is for the mourning of those who never welcomed their loved ones home, and the green leaf shows the hope that the grass and crops growing after the war brings. And the poppy is a symbol of remembrance, is not just a United States symbol. The remembrance poppy has become the defining symbol of reverence for the millions of soldiers who lost their lives in conflict. In the present day, the poppy appeal, organized by the Royal British Legion, takes place in the weeks leading up to a Remembrance Sunday, which occurs on the Sunday nearest to Armistice Day. The poppy appeal raises money for those who have served or are currently serving in the armed forces and have subsequently been affected physically, mentally, or economically by war. The history of the poppy as a symbol of respect for the war dead is now almost 100 years old. Since the appeal's inception in 1921, the poppy has become an international symbol of remembrance for those who have given their lives defending their respective countries. And for a list of activities that will be scheduled for Memorial Day in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, visiting D.C. for Memorial Day, this post is about things that are happening for Memorial Day in our nation's capital in 2023. One, there is a Memorial Day parade beginning at 2 p.m. along Constitutional Avenue Northwest. That is on Memorial Day, appropriately enough. The National Memorial Day Parade is a longstanding tradition in Washington, D.C. that takes place annually on the National Mall. Number two, there are Memorial Day tours. What better way to honor veterans than visiting their memorials? The National Mall walking tour is the perfect way to experience World War II, Vietnam, Korea, and others. Three, you can visit Arlington National Cemetery. Our fallen heroes can be honored by visiting Arlington National Cemetery. Take a free tour to learn more about the cemetery and its history. Number four, there is a National Memorial Day concert, which is a broadcast event. It airs live on PBS on the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. Number five, visit the American History of Museum. The Smithsonian Museum of American History is a popular destination on Memorial Day weekend as it features a number of exhibitions that pay tribute to America's military history. Number six, you can visit the Air Force Memorial. The Air Force Memorial is just outside of Arlington National Cemetery, or about a 25-minute walk from the Pentagon Metro Station. Seven, the Navy Memorial. Honor our Navy veterans past and present by visiting their memorial on Pennsylvania Avenue. You can also go to the memorial for Iwo Jima at night, the Marine Corps Memorial, or the two. Iwo Jima Memorial is often unofficially referred to, is an impressive sight during the day, but especially lit up at night. And finally, you can see the Rolling to Remember, the new name of Rolling Thunder, which will occur on Memorial Day. It's the nation's most iconic display of support for veterans and has a new name, but the same mission. So there's a lot to do. Hopefully, none of us will remember it as just the start of summer or a three-day weekend, but a time to honor those of us who have lost our soldiers through our many wars and have made the ultimate sacrifice in this great nation. Thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed this overview of Memorial Day and the programming from Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Murray Everson, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds.